pray with me. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. It must have been an unimaginable swirl of emotions for those disciples that first Good Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It all seemed wonderful. And suddenly, before they could even understand what was happening, it was all gone. Jesus was dead, judged and executed by the leaders of their own religion and by the Roman authorities. Hope was gone. What were they to do now? And not only had he been executed, but they had betrayed him. When the moment came, they didn't stand up. They didn't defend him. They ran off. Peter most famously, but all of them in their own ways, abandoned him in his moment of need. And now they were stuck with the prospect of going back home to all the tisk, and I told you so's, and why did you bet on that horse? What happened to you? What were they to do? He had seemed special, different. Somehow, God was with him in a way that they haven't experienced with anybody else. When he taught, his words had a ring of truth, unlike the teachers they were used to. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. They had come to hang on every word and to expect that this would indeed be the redemption of Israel. Of course, he had told them differently, but they didn't hear that. And so they did what most of us do in a moment of crisis like that. They fall back on routine. We're told about the women in particular who went to buy spices, a way of caring for Jesus' body. Nothing wrong with that. It was a loving and caring way to show respect and concern for a loved one that had gone on. But here's where the problem was, you see. They thought this death was like all the other deaths they had seen. They had all bought spices before. They had all anointed dead bodies of loved ones before. It was a routine part of life. But somehow they missed that this one was different. They had seen the miracles, but expected the same ending. They had heard the teachings, but somehow they hadn't sunk in. They had seen Jesus declare the Son, the Beloved, by the River Jordan when John baptized him. But somehow the voice from heaven hadn't quite stuck in their memory. They didn't expect God to act. They thought it would be one more time around the merry-go-round of life, like we're all so used to. But you know what the truth is? We don't really expect God to act either. Sure, we may hope for a little help, a little nudge to get us through the week, maybe a little something to get us over the sickness. The truth is, most of us Americans, and I'm sure it's not just Americans, have this idea of God as our kind of divine helper. get us through the hard moments, to take care of the problems that we face. And somehow that's to happen at our direction, the way we would like it to happen. But when God breaks in, everything changes. When God breaks in, it's not just about taking care of our temporary little inconveniences. It is about changing the very root and foundation of our lives. The resurrection is not a promise that life's going to be just a little nicer next week than it was last week. The resurrection is a promise that the God of the universe, the creator of all that is, makes us part of his plan. He designed us. He created us. And when we rebelled, he redeemed us and brought us to new life. And we see that lived out in the resurrection of Jesus. When God breaks in, nothing is the same anymore. Sometimes it's a suddenly, sometimes we slowly grow in that realization. I suspect that it hit the women pretty suddenly. We're told they were seized with terror and amazement. And even when the angel told them to go and tell the other disciples, they didn't say anything, at least not right away. But they were afraid. This isn't a promise that it's going to be easy. In fact, if we were to look at the disciples, we would discover that life got a lot tougher for them. Many of them, if not all of them, were killed for their faith. They were all imprisoned in various times for their faith. This was not a promise that life would be nice or easy or comfortable. It was a promise that we have meaning, that we have purpose, that God has an intent in creating you that only you can fulfill. There is a purpose for your life. There is an intentionality. You are not an accident of biology and chemistry and molecules. You are the intentional, willful design of a creator who loves you, of a creator who came to redeem you, of a creator who rose from the dead to show you what is possible. Easter is the promise that we each have a meaning and a purpose and a mission. We are not invisible. We are not an accident. God intends for you to be precisely where you are. And he has a purpose for you to fulfill where he has placed you. You may not see it yet. It may not be as exciting and engaging as you might like it to be. But God has a purpose for you. And if we forget that, then Monday is going to roll around and we're going to be buying spices again. Just expecting another round on the merry-go-round. One more time around the routine. And we're going to forget that God brings in to make us new, to make us different. Now, yes, some of the things are going to stay the same. Tomorrow is going to come around and the garbage is still going to have to be taken out and the groceries are going to have to be bought and the floor is going to have to be swept and jobs are going to have to be attended to, yes. But all those things take on a different color when we remember that our meaning and purpose is not simply to satisfy those wants of other people, but to be wrapped up in the purpose for which God has created us. To be wrapped up in his meaning for each of our lives. When God breaks in, nothing is the same. When God breaks in, buying spices will never do again. And we can live in that today. we can start that journey. Now, it's a lifelong journey to figure out what that looks like. And the mission and purpose for our lives changes over the course of the years that God gives to us. But we can begin to live in that promise today. We can know the security of the resurrection and what God promises to us right now. You can know that you are not an accident. You are planned by God. And regardless of what may be in your past, you are redeemed by Him. He came for you. He died for you. He rose for you. For each one of us. Because He has meaning and purpose for us. And that can be a part of your life today. That won't give you all the answers. That doesn't promise you an easy and comfortable life. But it does promise you a life that is connected to its creator, that is tied to its source, and has meaning and satisfaction and fulfillment in what God has created you to be and to do. Will you trust Him to shape your foundations today and rattle out all the fluff? And you can find that firm foundation on which to build the rest of your life. Please bow with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You walked the way of the cross for us, that You did not shun its horror and pain, and neither did You shun us and the sin and rebellion and loss that is in our lives. We thank You for the promise of Your resurrection, the new life that You promise to each one of us. Lord, we pray that You would give each of us an understanding of that meaning and purpose and design that You have placed upon us. And that You may give us the grace and boldness to live it out.